Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship services this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up our service with a word of prayer. I have this thank you card I'd like to read. Wiggum Church members, thank you so much for allowing us to use our home church for God's service. We appreciate it so much. The ladies who prepared this tailgate party were especially wonderful. Wiggum will always hold a dear place in our hearts. And that's from the Willoughbys, Pattons, and Stricklands, and Rod Strickland's service a few weeks ago. Please remember no PM service today, tonight. Men, young men, and boys, Thursday, May the 15th at 7 o'clock, that's this Thursday, Standing in the Gap men's meeting, a meal will be provided. Children's home truck loading items need to be at the church today. Items needed are mustard, ketchup, canned corn, ranch dressing, salt and pepper, assorted seasoning, dill pickles, trash bag, gift cards, and checks. There's a box in the back. If you can have them, those items here today, by sometime today, we'll get them to the associational office probably tomorrow or Tuesday. And also, please save any empty gum boxes you may have. They are needed for VBS. Any questions, contact Susan Maxwell. Any other announcements? Any birthdays?
Grayson.
He's waiting. He's got a little help. He was ready. He heard his name. He's like, who's that? Say, call him out. One year old today. Happy birthday, Grayson Harold.
Yeah, let's sing happy birthday to Grayson.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
Got me tickled. I'll get over it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here and worship our risen Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And Lord, I know we have a baby dedication and other things going on today, Lord, but all these things that we are doing this morning, Lord, we do to bring honor and bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, I pray for Brother Tim today as he stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord, the word from Scripture, Lord, as we talked about in Sunday school, Lord, that it is true, Lord, and it is reliable, Lord. And Lord, as we learned this morning, Lord, we need to pay attention to it, Lord, and not only just pay attention to it and hear it, Lord, but we need to also do what it says and don't do many things that it says also, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will just move this service today. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing together, Come Thy Fount with Every Blessing. Hymn 15, if you're looking at the helmet. Thank you. Now, him 177, there's just something about his name. And this will be an offer to him.
I would like to take this time. I need just three volunteers of you younger guys or gals, if you'll come help me for a minute. I would like for all the mothers in the room to stand up, please. We want to honor you today. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you. So y'all come on down there's There's some gifts right here in these bags if y'all just take some and pass them out to the mothers, okay? Get Miss Shauna back there. She's hiding. Hey, well, guys, families, husbands, let's give our wives, our mothers a round of applause today. Thank y'all for helping out with that. Today is Mother's Day, as you know, and we would like to thank all of you for the part you had in raising your kids, us, but also your children and grandchildren, and if you're very fortunate, great grandchildren. And so we are blessed to honor you today here in this service. But today on Mother's Day, we're gonna kind of shift gears. And we're going to have what we call a baby dedication service. Some of these aren't babies. Some of them are toddlers, and that is fine. Because the main thing we want to do today is honor our Lord and Savior, honor God the Father by dedicating these children to Him. And you say, well, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, Samuel's mother, Hannah, was barren, and God finally blessed her with a child. And she came and dedicated her son to the Lord. She said she was longing to the Lord for all of his days. You know, that should be our intent as parents, is to raise up children who will follow the Lord all of their days. But it takes more than just sending them to church to accomplish that. It takes us being the parents God wants us to be to set the example for our children. This morning, I want our main passage is Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. So I want to read them, and then we're going to pray, and then we're just going to jump into this sermon for this morning. So let's start reading Psalm 127, verse 1 through 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read your word this morning, God, I pray that you bless the reading of it. God, I pray that you would open our ears first, open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, to hear and to receive what you have for us today. Lord, help us to realize that without you, Lord, we're fighting a battle that we're probably not going to win in our homes. So, Lord, lead us and guide us today. Lord, help us to celebrate what you have done. Lord, help us to feel conviction where we have gone astray or have not fulfilled our own duties. Lord, help us to correct it. Help us to repent of those sins, Lord, and turn to you and follow your ways for our lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is wrong with America today? what is wrong with America today? I would venture to say that what is wrong with America today started in the home. Because the foundation of America was built on the principle of a family that was functioning properly. But without functioning properly, without seeking the Lord and living according to God's will and God's ways and God's word, our nation has drifted way off course, but it started in the home. Now, as we look at this, we realize that if homes, if families are not built on the Lord, they're going to fall apart, right? If families aren't built on the Lord, they will fall apart. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus spake these words. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rock is not necessarily a rock foundation, it is on Christ is what he's talking about. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see, if our marriages aren't built on the Lord, if our family between mom and dad and our children aren't built on the Lord, then when the rains come, the winds blow, the waves come, guess what happens? It all falls apart. You may have experienced that in your own life. Maybe you have family members who have experienced that. Maybe you have friends who have experienced that very thing. And you have to ask yourself, were those people building their lives, building their families on the Lord? Because oftentimes that is not the case. We cannot build stable homes unless our families are built on the Lord. In John 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said these words also. He says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. We need to build on the Lord, but we also need to abide in the Lord. Can I say this? That doesn't mean just to come to church on Sunday morning. Is that abiding? Well, let me ask you this. How many of y'all eat just one meal a day? Anybody? What about one meal a week? How many do you eat a day or a week? A bunch, right? It's the same thing. If I'm not feeding on God's word, if I'm not communicating with him through prayer, if I'm not anchoring myself to him in a personal relationship, then I'm going to wither up and fade away. Same way with you and your relationship with the Lord. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, great. Are you growing? Are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Lord and Savior? Because if we're not, we're stagnant. Now, none of us want to be stagnant in our lives. Here's the thing. Jesus tells us to abide in him. And you say, well, I can't do that. Well, Philippians 4:13 says we can. For I can do all things through who? Christ who strengthens me, or Christ who gives me strength, as some translations would word that verse. Colossians 3:17 tells us, Paul says, to do everything as if unto who? To myself, what I want, what I need. Says to do everything unto the Lord. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are to give our very best to him. Now, we're going to go back to Psalm 127 because this is where I really want to focus on. The first sentence in that says, unless the Lord builds the house. So, first and foremost, we can say, well, I bought a house, I'm building a house, I have a house. But here's the reality of it. If God is not the builder of it, it's one day going to fall. It's one day going to fall. If our relationship, if our foundation is not based on Him, the house will come crashing down sooner or later. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You can work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You can take all that time. But the problem is, normally, if we work, and can I tell you I'm guilty of this? Because when Amy and I got married and our kids started coming on, I was working 60, 70 hours a week at the sawmill, and then working 30, 40 hours a week on the side mowing yards. So I know what I'm talking about here. You can burn the candle at both ends. But when you do, you're sacrificing your family, and that is foolish. Can I get a witness? You can build your treasures, you can build your house, you can build your bank accounts and your boats and your four-wheelers and whatever else you've got going on, but somebody is suffering when you're burning the candle at both ends. And normally, guys, because it's normally us who do it, we are sacrificing our families. And that is crazy for us to do that. We need families. We need homes that are built on the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Can I simply say this? Moms and dads, if you have children that are not married yet, you better be praying for them. You better be praying for them. And you say, why? It's because we need to pray that they would marry a godly person. Not just somebody who claims to be a Christian, but somebody who is a Christian, somebody who's living it, who's walking it, whose life is built on the Lord. Because the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, that we should not be unequally yoked together. And I tell you, first and foremost, that's not talking about race. It is talking about an unbeliever marrying a believer. Because 9 out of 10 times what happens? The believer usually does not win in the equation. Usually what happens is the unbeliever pulls the believer out of church and believes it leads them out of walking with the Lord. It doesn't happen all the time, but probably 90% of the time it is exactly what happens. We need families who will teach the Word of God to the children. As much as the church is important, the church is not and should not be the primary place your child learns Scripture. That's the parent's responsibility. That's mama's responsibility. And that is also daddy's responsibility to teach the Word of God to their children. Church should just reinforce what mom and daddy's doing at home. Amen? That should be our goal, to teach them at home. And when they go to church, their Sunday school teacher's saying the same thing mom and daddy's saying. And the preacher's saying the same thing mom and daddy's saying. That builds their faith. It builds their confidence in who Christ is and what He has done for us. Do you know that children, well, let me back up. Everything you have is on loan from God. Everything. Everything you have is on loan from God to you. And children, since this is Mother's Day and Baby Dedication Day, children are on loan from God to you. He's loaned them to you. And He expects you to be good stewards of what he gives to you, right? Just like everything else, whether it's finances or fame or fortune, whatever it may be. God expects us to be good stewards of what he has given to us. But it starts in the home. It starts by teaching the Word of God. He has entrusted our children to us to raise them in the way he wants us to raise them. And guess what? Mom and Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, one day you're going to stand before God and give an account. You're going to give an account. So the question is, how are we doing? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Now see, this isn't just about children, because this says you. And who does you mean? Us, right? It means you, it means me, it means all of us. You shall love the Lord your God with part of your heart. Is that what it says? It says with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all your soul. I missed one, I'm sorry. And these words which I command to you today shall be, where at? Just in your head, in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. That diligently doesn't mean to be passive. It means to be active. Amen? It means to be diligently, actively involved in teaching the Word of God to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you arise. You shall bind them as signs on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know what that means? It means that God should be the focus in every conversation we have, no matter what we're doing or where we're at. You rise up and you lie down. When you walk in, when you talk in, well, whatever we do, God should be the focus of that. And the Word of God should be primary in our lives. But to build our families on the Lord, we must not only teach our children the Word of God, we must obey it ourselves. We must be committed. We must be committed in our homes. Commitment means nothing today, but guess what? God still thinks seriously about commitments. Today, if we don't like our spouse, what do we do? Come on, we're in church, I'll tell the truth. You get divorced. Is that the sin that sends people to hell? No. People are forgiven for that. But what I'm meaning here is, it is simply commitment when we say and we stand before God and we stand before our family and friends and we say, you know, our vows and we say, till death do us. But 52% of families in church have quit. They have become uncommitted. Now, in our families, if that holds true to our marriage relationship, that affects little Johnny and little Susie, okay? People say, well, children are resilient. Man, they carry some heavy scars. They carry some heavy, heavy scars. And you say, well, it's not about them. It's about me and my happiness. Can I say this? What you teach your children, don't be surprised when it comes back to haunt you. Don't be surprised when it comes back to haunt you because of how you lived, how you walked, how you talked, all those things that come along with it. We need to be faithful as parents, not only to teach the Word of God, but to obey the Word of God. And if God says for us to go, what are we supposed to do? Go. If he says to give, what are we supposed to do? If he says to pray, what are we supposed to do? Pray. All those things are important. And they're important for our children to see us live it out in our lives. whole nother sermon. I won't get off on it. We must also, if we're going to build our homes on the Lord, we must watch our conversations. I remember growing up and walking out of the church doors, and for a small country church back in the mid, early 80s, this was a fairly large church growing up in it. And I remember walking out the church doors after a service and hearing a man standing out there just to cuss and lie. And I thought, how is that godly? And the problem is, kids today have some foul mouths, right? Y'all kids, how many of y'all would agree with me that you hear cussing in school? All right, now put your hands out. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because you'll be in trouble with your parents. How many of you have said cuss words in school? You see what I mean? You see what I mean? But mom and daddy, guess where they usually learn that language from? Don't get on to little John. Well, I'm not telling you what to do. If you get on to them for saying and using the same language you do, shame on you. Shame on you. Because the words you use in your house, you use with emphasis, you use it with matter of fact, and guess what? The first words your kids pick up on. That same kind of language. Must watch our conversation. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Listen, if we're speaking foul, how is that imparting grace? How is that imparting love? How is that imparting compassion to our loved ones that we claim to love and would do anything for? We must teach our children compassion. Compassion. 1 Corinthians 13. Well, we probably all know this as a love chapter in the Bible. I just want to cover these few verses here. Listen to this, and as we read it together, ask yourself, does this reflect your life? Ask yourself, is this part of my life? Don't just pick one of them. Amen? Look at all of them. Love suffers short time, long, and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Is that part of our life? We must teach our kids what love is, what real love is, what true love is. That love never ends, because when Paul gets to the end of chapter 13, that's what he says, love never ends. The greatest thing that we can do is love, to have compassion on one another, especially in our homes. Now, go back to Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Here again, he's saying basically what he said in the beginning. It doesn't matter about just your home, but the city. You can stay up all night worrying about the protection and provision of your family. Oh, but when we build on the Lord, he's got that covered. He's the one who guards us. You can live in the safest nation on earth in the United States. And if you live in certain cities, you're probably not sleeping well at night. Maybe it's because we're not building on the Lord. Maybe we're not allowing Him to have His focus in our lives. Verse 2 says, it's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. I said this earlier. I know people who work hundreds of hours a week, seems like, and I know there's not hundreds of hours in a week, but they work all the time, and it's never enough. And they get, maybe they got a nice house, and in my first church, I won't say where it was from right here, but it was in the state of Alabama, and there was a man who had a lot of money, and he had his house lit up like Fort Knox. I've never been to Fort Knox, but I can just imagine that it's lit up. You know, they want to see every little nook and cranny, because he was scared to death somebody's going to come in and take everything he had. He couldn't sleep at night because of that. Why? Listen to this. You can sacrifice your children. I know I spoke about this briefly ago. You can sacrifice your children, your family, for your work, for your bank account, but it will cost you. Now, with that cost, there is a problem that we end up with, and it's simply this. You can say, well, I'm doing it for my kids. How many of you want your kids to have the very best they can have? You can get it. Come on, everybody. You know, there's a bunch of kids here this morning, praise God. You say, well, I'm getting out, I want to buy the 500 Xbox or whatever it's called now. I don't know, the $500 one might be $1,000 by now, who knows. You know what I've noticed in kids? You give them a present, and what will they do with it? They'll take the present out of the box and play with what? The box. Come on. What are we doing? I'm being serious. Ask you, what are we doing? Ask your kids when they start getting a little bit older, what do you really want? What do you wish you could have done as a child? You know what most of them probably tell you? If they're old enough to think it through, I wish I could have spent more time with mom and dad. If you don't believe me, let me ask you the question. How many of you moms and dads right now would say, I wish I would have spent more time with my parents? You see what I mean? It's not the toy, it's not the gift that matters. What matters is that you spend time with them, that you love on them, that you know who they are, and they know who you are. But what do we spend most of our time trying to do? I'm not saying don't buy your kids good stuff or nice stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying make building your family and the Lord your priority in life. Why? Well, I think verse 2 says it. It's vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. Bread of sorrows. What is the bread of sorrows? The bread of sorrows is looking back on life saying, I wish. I wish. I wish. And don't keep wishing, start doing. Amen? And start doing it. That's what the Lord wants to do. Listen here. Put God first. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We're going through. This is what Jesus says here. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to the stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? We'll stop right there. Here's the point. It does no good to gain everything, to worry about everything. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work, because the Bible's clear on that. We shouldn't eat if we don't work, right? Plain and simple. But at the same time, there should be a balance in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's where our rest is found. It's found in Christ. Now, back to 127, verse 3. The psalmist says that children are a heritage. Some translations say that children are a blessing. I like the blessing better, don't you? Children are a blessing from who? From the Lord. Children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a heritage. The word heritage, when you go back and research it, it's really a blessing from or to a male child, because back in their society, that's how everything was handed down from one generation to the next, was through the male children. But then, they didn't just end with that. He said they're a heritage from the Lord. They're fruit of the womb. It's a reward. Here, you know, there's one thing I cannot stand to hear, and so please, if you come up to me, if you say these words, I'm not going to be ugly to you, but I'm probably going to shake my head. When you hear somebody, when I hear somebody come to me and they say, well, that child was a mistake. Can I tell you, you got your priorities mixed up. Children are not a mistake. Children are not an accident. Children are a heritage. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Is it painful? Do you lose a lot of sleep? Yes. Are they expensive? Yes. But they are a blessing like no other that you'll ever have in your life. Children are a blessing from the Lord. But how does our society treat children today? Just say this, a child may not have been planned, but they are never a mistake. Never, ever a mistake. They are a heritage from the Lord. Why did God give us marriage in the first place? Malachi 2:15 says, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. You see, it's our responsibility to teach and grow our children into the people God wants them to be. That leads me to Psalm 127, verse 4. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Let me say this. For years and years, I did a lot of bow hunting until my shoulder just blew out. I can't hardly lift my arm up anymore. One thing I know about bow hunting, okay, is that when you go and buy arrows, you don't want one that's bent. Why? Because it's not going to shoot true. It's going to go, so when you buy arrows, you go and you pay more money for the ones that are straight. Because when they're straighter, they're going to go further and they're going to go truer than some warped up arrow. Now, with that, the arrow has to be shaped. Think about the American Indians. When they go find them a stick or a certain type of limb or whatever they use, they would carve it. They would make it just as smooth and just as round as they could possibly make it, because it was important to shape that era the way it needed to be. Can I tell you, parents, it is your responsibility to shape your children. It's your responsibility to shape them. Because if you don't shape them right, they're going to fly wrong. Something else I know about bow hunting is when you pull that arrow back on that bow, you got to aim it at what you want it to hit. Because if you just pull that string back and let it fly, you don't know who you're going to hit. It might ricochet a tree and hit you. You have to point your children. You have to aim them towards God. Because if you're not aiming them to God, you're aiming them away from God. It's your choice. It's your responsibility to aim them. Number three on there is you must release them. The hardest part, just last week, hand an arrow off to Josh. You got to shape them, you got to aim them, but sooner or later you got to release them. Because the arrow that's still stuck in the bow is no good to anybody. You got to let them fly. Just like that mama bird does when she's got them babies in the nest and she said, well, y'all just stay here for the rest of your life. What does she do? She's teaching them everything she knows. She's feeding them. She's shaping. She's teaching them how to fly. And eventually some birds teach their little ones to find their food and how to hunt like eagles do. So it's a learning process, but sooner or later you gotta let them go. Same way with us. We have to raise them, shape them, aim them, and let them go. But then verse 5, the second part of that verse says, verse 8. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. Now, some of you may say, well, how many is a quiver full? Because it's talking about children, right? That's the whole point of this. Well, that's between you and God, right? How many is a quiver full? When I went hunting, I always had about 6 arrows with me. I didn't carry a whole dozen. But it's interesting because my thought was always have 5 or 6 kids. But anyhow, God saw fit for us to have 3. So have his quiver full of them. That's between you and God's sake. The second part of that says they will not be ashamed but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. What is that talking about there? Just briefly, how many of you have ever been to a funeral where somebody said, he was a good man, she was a good woman, a great woman, a godly woman? Here's the idea of this. The gate that is being referred to here is the same type gate that was used in the book of Ruth, where the leaders, the elders of the city would come together. And if somebody had an accusation or there was business to be done, they came to the city gates to weigh out the evidence, more or less like a courtroom setting. And here's the point. If you raise your children to do right, and somebody comes up to you and says, you know what I saw Tim doing? He was out doing this or that. The parents would say, that sure seems out of character for my son. That sure seems out of characteristic for my daughter. I'll stand up and argue with that. But at the same time, here's the difference. Parents, if somebody accused you of something to your child, would your child stand up in defense of you? Because who knows you better than your own family? It's one thing for us to say that about somebody we live with, work with, but when it's somebody that's close to you in those type settings, could they really say, you got wrong? You got wrong. My mama wouldn't do that. My daddy wouldn't do that. Listen to this quote. about years ago. They say that well-bred children will shoot at the enemies of their parents. But when children have not been brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and when their parents are not living the life they are teaching their children, then the children will shoot at the parents. Man, how are we doing? How are we doing as parents? How are we doing with leading our children to the Lord? How are we doing in living our personal lives? Because the first thing you need to do to build your house on the Lord is to be saved. You can't build on a foundation you don't have. You have to be saved first and foremost. You need to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and then get into His Word and start learning His Word and start teaching your family His Word. And then secondly, we need to just say, Lord, my kids are your kids. And you say, well, Brother Tim, my kids are already grown. What do I do? Can I just make a suggestion to you? Confess to the Lord whatever He's convicting you and say, Lord, help me to do right from here on out. You can't change the past, amen? But you can change today and you can change tomorrow. That depends on the decisions you make each and every day. We call this service a baby dedication service. And our desire, I'm asking parents that are dedicating their children to come up here. If you got the kids of me, our desire today is to commit these children to the Lord and dedicate them to the Lord. And, in doing so, though, these parents are dedicating their children to the Lord. But they're also, by default, committing themselves to the Lord. You follow me? Because for them to dedicate the children to the Lord, they themselves need to live a life that is modeled in front of their children that honors and glorifies them. But I'm also, families, I'm also encouraging us as a church to pray for these parents, to pray for the children, to pray that God will use them. But also, church family, we are committing ourselves to help raise these children as much as we possibly can, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. You know, it's my grandbaby making the face. Hey, Hunter and Lydia, I want to present to you this Bible from Wheaton Baptist Church. And I know Amelia already likes to read it. And so teach it to her, read it with her. They're never too young to learn. Grayson, hey buddy. There you go, that's my Bible. Raise him up in fear and admonition of the Lord. Ashley, hey Tripp, got you a Bible too. You're gonna read it together with your mama? All right. All right. Well, if y'all will, stand with me, and we're going to pray and be dismissed. I do encourage you to come by and shake hands with them, encourage them, and to walk with the Lord. It's hard to get off track. And so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, help us commit our lives today to you. Lord, whether we've got little kids, teenagers, if our children are grown, Lord, help us to do our part to always steer them in the right direction. Lord, forgive us where we failed you in the past, but Lord, help us not to keep that keep that from letting us do the right thing. Lord, lead us and guide us in your path. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, mothers. Thank you for everything.